Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Mecca. And Unique is definitely in a building as well. And we want to welcome you to the VIP with Unique and Mecca. Hey, sis, how you doing?
I'm good.
I'm laughing because you had a slight pause now before you said I'm good. And I had to think about how on Steve Harvey's show, he's always getting on Carla because he'll be like, hey, Carla. No, he'll be like, hey, Shirley. Hey, Steve. Hey, Junior. Hey, Steve. Hey, Carla. Hey, Steve. 12 years later. Let me find out you pulled the collar on the VIP tonight on this here pink carpet. Sis, it has been a long time coming. I know we've been wanting to talk about self-esteem or, you know, having it or not having it, you know, things that contribute to it, things that people do because of it, because of not having it. For a long time, and I know, you know, we have touched on it a little bit just because of some of the things, you know, our topics that we've had, but to, you know, actually get a chance to really, really, really focus directly on it, whew, I know we could talk forever about this because it's something that, you know, we always felt very, very passionate about, so we're definitely going to get directly into it tonight. And
we don't have any
to get off so many things.
Nope,
it is
the
us.
Two of us.
Just the two of us. Just the two of us. Unique and I. So, yeah, we the special guests, y'all. Sometimes it bees like that. We gotta, you know, I think that I love the idea of having our special guest because we always have a special guest. But I felt like we didn't need one on this one. Not that we didn't need one, but I felt that it wasn't 100% necessary to have one because this is just something that, you know, we always talk about and we always felt very, very passionate about as well. I see your aunt is on the line. She's
hey,
like, I got to call my niece.
Hey,
I see she's in the building. Just left not too long ago, but wow, just I almost don't know which way to go. But
where to even
what
start,
I want to do?
Know.
Yeah, I was gonna say I want to bounce some questions off of you, and you can do the same to me, where we can kind of get into it that way. I know I had posed a question on the internet, which, you know, just simply asks, what do people think is like the underlying cause of low self-esteem? You know what I mean? So I guess we can, you know, start there, tackle that. Yeah. So what were you going to say?
Well, I personally think it starts from your upbringing. It starts from childhood. Very important for parents. You know that saying, it takes a village to raise a child? For parents, aunties, family, friends, to really instill self-confidence, to tell your child how beautiful they are all the time so that they're not waiting and yearning for somebody to tell them that when they're a teenager or when they're an adult. They've heard it their whole lives. So for somebody else outside to tell them, it's not a big deal.
Wow.
It's really deep. It's really, really, really deep because as a child, when you know, all kids, I don't care who you are, you go through awkward phases.
Right. Yeah. The whole teeth falling out stage and, you know, the growing back too big for the little head and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, people definitely still look cute, you know, at that particular age with that whole thing going on. But you said you used the word yearning. And I was like, wow, that's a deep word to use, yearning for, you know, someone to tell you that you're beautiful or whatever the case may be. And that's a big word because, you know, when you have a yearning or a longing for something, it's bigger than something that you just want. It's something that you crave. It's something that you, you know, I just have to have this type of deal. And, you know, when we just have to have certain things, sometimes we go to different measures in order to get those things. So when you said that, I was like, wow. I said, you know, that's something because when you lack, I hear you now. I was talking about you saying the word yearning. When you lack self-esteem and you're yearning for something, it may cause you to do other things in order to get that particular thing that you're yearning for, you know. And so when you use yearning, I was like, wow, that's deep. I would never even thought about putting the word yearning, you know, and explaining that. But, you know, think of the things people do for attention, you know, or to be accepted. You know, or the so-called be accepted, because, you know, sometimes you do these things to be accepted and you're still really not accepted. So, you know, it's just a lot. I think about, you know, it's one thing like us, you know, we love different hairstyles and we might be natural one day, weave the next day, you know, a wig, whatever.
A wig.
But
I some braids.
Right. Right. But I think
a hat, a ponytail.
But it's so much different when you do those things just because you feel like those are enhancements to make you accepted. Not because you're doing it because, hey, this is a cute style, I like this, I wanna try this out, this might be different, hey, I might like this. You know what I mean? There's a big, big difference between the two. But sis, let me ask you this. What do you say to people, because there are people who say this, what do you say to people who think that everyone who does, you know, weaves and maybe even acrylic tips and stuff like that, what do you say to people who think that everyone who does that has a low self-esteem?
I never thought about that. I would just say that that's not true. You know, those things don't define, I know me personally, that doesn't define me. You know, I can wear my hair natural. You know, it's an accessory. It's just for fun. You know, it's...
Right.
It's...
Right. And you know what's funny? Because... That...
Because it's people that actually can't go to the store without their hair weaves and they, you know, full face of makeup.
And it's funny because I was telling you that I know a lady who was like that.
Who was like
that? She was like that for years. And nice looking lady, you know, she was like that for years. And as of maybe the past 2 or 3 years, maybe two, I mean, I wouldn't even give her three, she just recently stopped being that way. And I wish I could have had her on today because I would have loved to ask her what made her decide that, hey, I can go to the store without makeup on. It's quite all right for me to do that. You know what I mean? I can go to the store without, you know, being dressed from head to toe. I mean, this lady would not wear her feet out. I mean, some people don't want to, you know, hammer time, but she wouldn't wear her feet out. She wouldn't go to store without makeup on. You know, she had to be ready. And I was just like, wow. And I remember her telling me, like, because she said, and she would never wear shorts. No shorts, no skirts, pants all the time. And I remember one day she and I were walking, and she was like, Mecca, she was like, she said, I would never, you know, you'll never see me with a skirt on. You'll never see me with shorts on. And I was like, wow. She said, no, she said, you know, I was teased so much about my legs when I was younger. She in her 40s.
And it stayed with her.
And it stayed with her. I was like, wow, you know, this is deep. I'm not going nowhere. No, you could do that if you want to, Mecca. I got to put on my, you know. And in my head, I was like, child, please. I said, I don't have the time to put on no makeup every single day. It just ain't happening. I mean, you and I aren't heavy makeup wearers anyway. So, ain't happening.
No,
I'll be Blanco.
That's
my brown face. You know, so, but
you,
I feel like, right. And so I feel like whatever came with the not wearing shorts and not wearing skirts or whatever could also be a contribution of, you know, her with the makeup at the time. And I would like to have asked her as of late what made her stop. Now, here's the thing. One thing that I do know is that she fell in love and her boyfriend, you know, bought her home down south, and, you know, she lives between New York and down south now. But it's like ever since she was with this particular man, I have seen her with flip-flops on, hammer time at home, flip-flops on, you know, going out with no makeup on, in the works.
It.
I was just like, wow.
You know, I love that. But one thing that I was saying to you, you cannot do it because of somebody else, because there's got to be, you know, something happened to them. Will she revert back to the way she used to be? You got to do things for yourself, not for your spouse, not for your parents. You got to do things for you. You got to believe it yourself.
Very true. Very, very true. But here's the thing. And I feel like I might have said this here before on the show when we one of the times I feel like I said it here when we had the dark skin advocates at the VIS. All right, I'm messing up, y'all. The dark skin activist. Okay? ACTIVIST. Her. Rashida Strobel, we had her on. I feel like I discussed the time when I was working with mentally ill people, and this one particular girl, her birthday is coming. Actually, her birthday is the 15th. So happy birthday to you, Becky. But nonetheless, this was a long time ago I was working with her. And when she realized, she called me her sister. And when she realized that we were like 3 days apart in birthdays, and, you know, me and Becky used to have long conversations because she really, really liked me. You know, she was pretty high function. And, you know, dark skin. And we were talking once, and she started saying, you know, I don't want to have dark kids. And, you know, that's why my boyfriend is light skin. And, you know, he was a twin. The boyfriend was a twin. And, you know, Puerto Rican light skin guy. And, I don't want them to be like me. And I was like, wow. Like, you know, what does that mean? You know, well, I'm ugly.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. She said, I'm ugly. And I'm like, you know, what do you mean? Well, I'm ugly, you know, because I look like an ape. And when she said that stuff, it just, it, you know, it did something to me. It bothered me. And I, you know, I always have a humongous passion for people who don't feel good about themselves, because if you ask me, I would love for everyone to feel good about themselves, because I feel like, now here's the thing, this might be going over the top for some people, but I believe that if everybody felt good about themselves, there would be less crime, there would be less people trying to hurt other people, because a lot of times people will do certain things for how can I say it? They'll do certain things because it's like, I don't have what you have. I don't have what you have,
yeah.
So I done went so over the top with my self-esteem being so low that I'm willing to hurt you about what I don't have, that I think you have, that I think I should have. You know what I mean? And, you know, so I think that the world would be a different place if everybody felt good about themselves. And like I said, I know that might be extreme, but that's just how I feel. I feel like if everyone felt good about themselves, plastic surgeons would be kind of poor.
They'd be out of business. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. Ooh,
so,
I'm glad you,
you
said
know,
that word, because, you know, we talk about that all the time.
All the time. All the time. You know, we feel so passionate about this, we ain't even start off and open the show, you know, how we normally open the show, because it was just like, we got to get into it. Y'all hear this intro every single week, but we promise we'll give you the outro, though, because we just wanted to jump into it. And since it's our show, we can do what we want to do.
Okay.
But, yeah, surgery.
My thing is, when did it just become what it is today? Like, regular people that live next door from you get plastic surgery. You know, it was just a thing that the rich and famous did at one time.
Right. And if I'm correct, I feel like it was something that, okay, the rich and famous might have done, but I feel like it wasn't, even those rich and famous that did it back years, years, years ago, it really wasn't us too much. I feel like as media, so, okay, I'm going to put it to you this way. And I just finished looking at a picture of Dorothy Dandridge. Who in my mind, first of all, I love Dorothy Dandridge.
Beautiful.
I'm a huge Dorothy Dandridge fan, but I always thought she was a lady. And today would have been her birthday, 94, I think she would have been today. But nonetheless, beautiful lady. But let's think about it. Back when Dorothy Dandridge and, you know, Dorothy Dandridge and the Billie Holidays and, you know,
Lena Horne,
Ella Fitzgerald. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I feel like they had to fight so hard to be accepted. Now, here's the thing. With outside of Ella Fitzgerald, these were light-skinned women who still had to fight so hard to do what they did and make the impact that they made in the film and television and music industry, to where it was just like, look, if I got to fight this hard, you want to accept me for who I am anyway. So we ain't thinking about changing nothing on us.
No.
You know what I mean? And so there was a different level, I feel like, of pride of being who you were at that particular time as a rich and famous person who nobody wanted you to be that. But you fought and you made sure that, listen, I got talent like everybody else, and this is what it's going to be. So I feel like there was a different level of self-love, because you really had to love yourself in order to make it, in order to be that trendsetter, in order to be that trailblazer that would pass the torch down to our parents' generation, and then our parents' generation pass it down to us, right? Now,
yeah.
Then I feel like what happened is that media began to change. And as media began to change, it wasn't as hard for us to make it in the industry as it used to be. And when that happened, there came a sabotage. There came, okay, well, if it's not going to be so difficult for y'all to make it like it used to be, guess what? I'm going to set a standard in the industry that says, guess what? This is the epitome of beauty. And I'm going to saturate the industry with what that looks like. And so if you don't look like what that looks like, I'm going to saturate it so much and feed it to you so much until you decide that, guess what? Hey, this is what I want to look like too, because everybody in the industry looks like this. I think that's one aspect of it. And then I also think that the second aspect of it would be that some of those women as well have gone through certain things that caused them to feel like less than.
Yep.
I talk about
like
Lil' Kim all the
money.
Time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When I get some money,
Lil' Kim, who I think Yep. Little Kim, who I think, in my eyes, Kimberly Denise.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt like there was an underlying something going on with Lil' Kim. I remember reading an article on Lil' Kim, and I remember her talking about living here in the Bronx. Yes, in the Bronx. That's what I said. I didn't say Brooklyn. But living here in the Bronx by Pelham Bay, I believe it was, with her dad, and how she had gone through so much with her dad. And she just wanted to be, you know, I feel like she just wanted to be accepted and beautiful in his eyes. And it was not so. That's not the relationship that they had. And so if you're not accepted by the man who created you, it can turn you into anything.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And so therefore I feel like that's where you got the bleaching skin. And I remember at first she did her teeth. I remember that. You remember she had, you know, her two teeth in the front were longer or whatever. But even with that was her own little unique way that God made her. And I still feel like she was very nice looking. And the next thing you know, next thing you know, hair changes. Foxy Brown recently. Another one. Pretty dark skin, pretty eyes. Like she said, the diamond mommy with the slanted eyes, you know, nice looking girl. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, about a little over a month ago, I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw that I had came across Nicki Minaj. And when I looked, it was Foxy Brown.
Oh my goodness, I haven't seen her.
You know,
she blew.
And I just feel like she was definitely lighter, you know. And I just feel like, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, and if they can hear me and if they ever heard this, you know, I would want them to know that, for one, this is definitely not, you know, a ploy to throw them under the bus or, you know, anything like that. I just want them to know that I think that they are beautiful. I love them the way that they were, you know, at the end of the day, talent and all, because those girls can go. You know, I love them the way that they were. And, you know, if there was something going on that caused them to be insecure, then, you know, I pray that whatever that was, that they can get over that particular thing. You know, even if it was the industry telling them that they weren't good enough, I want them to know, and not only just Foxy Brown, Lil' Kim, anybody, even if it's a male, I want you to know that the way God created you, you were made more than enough before you even got here, because he already had a plan for you, what you would look like, how tall you would be, how, you know, your build, everything. God had a plan for you. God had a plan for you, and he does not make mistakes. Mm-mm. You know, we just have opinions. He allowed us to have opinions. Because he allowed us to have opinions, I feel like some people have a thicker skin than others. I feel like some people taunt you to a point where you feel like, oh, my gosh, I got to change this. I got to fix my nose because, you know, they always tell me that I got a big nose or whatever the case may be. Or they say my nose is too tiny and it looks like a little pin. I'm going to need to, you know, fill it out a little, whatever. Know that you are the standard. Nobody sets a standard for you. You're it. And nobody can be you, not even your twin. And I don't care if you look just like your twin.
That's
so,
right. There's only one you.
There's only one you, and you are beautiful. But sis, with that said, it brings me to this. I just want to get into a song real quick. With this song, used to bring me to tears almost. So you know that's serious.
Oh,
gosh.
The video used to do it for me. That would scare me if we're talking about the same song.
I don't know. But so, yes, people need to accept you for who you are. And if they can't accept you for who you are, you need to still keep being who you are. So with that said, I want to play Mary J. Blige, Take Me As I Am.
She's been talked about constantly. She's been up and down, she's been pushed around, but they held her down in NYC. She has no regrets, she accepts the past. All these things they help you make she. She's been lost and found, and she's still around. There's a reason for everything. Yeah.
You know I've been holding on. Trying to make me weak, but I still stay strong.
That was Mary J. Blige, Take Me As I Hear You, Sis. Whew, that song right there, when that came out. And you want to know something? And it just hit me as I was listening to it. When that particular song came out, I feel like it was around the time that I had found out how negatively I was being talked about some of the positive decisions that I made in my life. So, you know, when she opened up with that, she's been talked about, and I was just like, wow, you know, it was really, really deep to me because, you know, sometimes you have no idea what's being said about you or what, you know, kind of dirt is being thrown on your name. And I thank God for, you know, that particular, I thank God for the thick skin. You know what I'm saying? That's the best thing I could say. I thank God for the thick skin because I know that a lot of people don't have a thick skin and it causes them from low self-esteem. And people don't realize that it's just that deep. It really is that deep. I mean,
yes, it is.
You know, plenty of people might be like, oh, well, you know, get over it type of deal. You be all right. But, you know, if that's not what you're made of, you could destroy a person. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. And then it's layers and layers of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand, you know, low self-esteem didn't just happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, people have carried those things forever. So it's not going to go away
mm-hmm.
overnight either.
That's it. That's
and then
it.
The crazy thing is if you get to feeling good about a certain thing, it can take one little comment to bring you right back into that shell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
and that's why
it's
like people
got to
be ever so careful.
Say.
Yeah.
Yes, what they say to people, and especially to children.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be careful what you say.
Exactly, because you just never, ever know. You know,
you never
or,
know.
You know, sometimes in our families, I feel like we, you know, we come from families where, you know, we joke, we make, you know, fun and all kind of stuff like that. But sometimes what I've learned is that even with joking around with each other, oh, you got long legs, you this, you that, you really have to pay attention to what they're not saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to their countenance. When you see, you know, that they're different as a result of, you know, I'm going to knock Shirley Nicole out. She is, I can't. Y'all, we got people shy. They texted me now. They're shy to call into the show because they think if they call in, we're going to make them talk. This is hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, pay attention, like I said, to how people react to the things that you're saying. A lot of times it's like, oh, you know, they didn't seem like nothing was wrong. They didn't say anything, but that could be why. They didn't say nothing because they're so crushed by what you said that they couldn't respond, you know?
Yep.
So I try, you know, to pay attention because I'm a joker, you know what I mean? But I try to pay attention to, especially with young people, how they react to certain things that I say. And I mean, you know, I'm around young people all the time. And I'm never too big to tell them, you know, oh, no, you know what, that was my mistake. Guess what, I won't say that again. You know what I mean? And to be quite honest, being that I have, you know, three-year-olds, usually when they come in the door, first thing in the morning, the girls, usually when they come in, I say, good morning, beautiful, and I call them by their name. Good morning, beautiful Sarah. I don't have a child named Sarah for real. You know, and if it's a boy, good morning, handsome, and I do it right in front of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I do it right in front of their parents. So guess what? If this is not being reinforced at home, then maybe it'll be something that they adopt from me. And here's the thing. If it is being said at home, then guess what? Wow. Not only does my parents think I'm beautiful, but guess what? The teacher does too. People who have an influence, they think so too. You understand what I'm saying? You'd be surprised
what?
How much people who have whatever influence on your life, what it means to you. To this day, I always think about my fourth grade and my sixth grade teacher. And to this day, those are my favorite teachers. And I even have my sixth grade teacher's telephone number, who's still very, very hard on me to this day. She still thinks I'm 11 whenever I do call her, but I haven't spoken to her in a few years, but she's always trying to tell me what to do. But one thing that I remembered about her, which was reinforced from home, I remember with her that she was always into making sure that you look nice, making sure that you're ladylike, making sure that you have manners, all of those things that contribute to a positive self-esteem, all of those things that when you can look in the mirror, I see you, Shirley, you can look in the mirror and see a reflection of how beautiful you are just because of your characteristics. And my mother and my grandmother and my godmother instilled those things in me too. So when I went to school, not only did I get it from home, but I got it from school too. You know what I mean? With them, you know, and my fourth grade teacher always telling us to be honest. My mother's big on lies, and that's why you know how I am about lying. My mother is big on that. Tell the truth, you know, so I know what's really going on. And my fourth grade teacher,
we can get over
right?
That.
And my fourth grade teacher instilled that in us too. Honesty is the best policy. And my sixth grade teacher would always say, "I appreciate your honesty." So, you know, certain things have to do with your character as well. So even if you are a kid who, well, I grew up and I was an overweight kid, you knew how to look at that, look in the mirror and see, yes, I'm overweight, but I'm still beautiful, especially because I have all these good characteristics. You know what I mean? So, sis, I see we have a Connecticut on the line that's nervous now because I just shouted them out. Hey, Shirley girl, we have, I feel like Albany or upstate New York somewhere on the line. So I just want to take time out real quick to say thank you, thank you, thank you for calling into the VIP. We hope that you enjoy tonight. And if we get a chance, we will definitely open the line real quick. And if you have something to say, we'll let you say that as well. But I want to get into another song real quick. Sis, did you want to pick which song?
Yes, please play Pink, FM Perfect.
All righty, let's find Pink on this cue here. You got some stuff on here, sis. I'm trying to stick to the program here. But you going hard, but that's all right, that's all right. They'll meet us on the trend in a few weeks. Because, yes, we do have another show coming up, y'all, The Trend. That's on Hot 95.6, but that's a whole nother story. So, yes, we'll be about to get right into right now. I don't know if you want to introduce it, sis.
Yes, I would love to introduce FM Perfect. I didn't cuss. By Pink.
They like FM Perfect.
Love this
all
song.
Right.
I love
I like
song.
Pink.
I love Pink. Me too.
All right. Let's get into it.
The message is awesome.
As usual, Pink is deep.
Made a wrong turn once or twice. Dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decision. That's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, please misunderstood. Miss, no, it's all good. It didn't slow me down. Mistaken, always second guessing. Underestimated, look, I'm still around. Fucking perfect.
I swallow the fear. The only thing I should be drinking is an ice cold beer. So cool in line, and we try, 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 but we try too hard. It's a waste of my time. Done looking for the critics, cause they're everywhere. They don't like my jeans, they don't get my hair. Exchange ourselves, and we do it all the time. Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Yeah!
Perfect to me, but you know what? Pink has a way with words, and I love it. She's so raw. I love the message, but the thing about it is, if you don't, I mean, somebody can see that you're perfect, see that you're beautiful. If you don't see it and believe it yourself, it don't even matter what somebody else thinks.
It's gonna mean absolutely nothing.
It means nothing.
Trust
nope.
you. But let me just say this really, really quickly. Really, really quickly, and I know, you know, I know what you're going to say next. But really quickly, what I want to say is that to anyone who's listening and who suffers from self-esteem, or if you have a person dear to you that suffers from self-esteem, it is a day-by-day process. I say all the time, I help raise my niece. And, you know, she suffered from depression and, you know, being suicidal and, you know, low self-esteem, all of those things. And all of those things, like you said, had layers and stem from different things. And then, you know, having the contact that I have with privilege and honor, I say, to work with young people who might also suffer from low self-esteem, people who, you know, hit me up on the Mecca page who, you know, have gone through that as well. What I like to tell them is that I know that it's a process, but one thing that you have to begin to do, you have to go right to that place. And I find myself telling people this outside of me doing workshops, people that I just end up talking to, that you have to go right back to that place where you first begin to feel like you were worthless. And it's painful to go back there, but you have to go back there and you have to talk to that particular self. You have to tell that self that, no, we're not doing this. So if I really started, you know, feeling like less than in the fourth grade, you got to take yourself right back to the fourth grade and you have to talk to your fourth grade self. And, you know, that's where it starts. And it's painful to revisit that. And the second thing that I would say is that you have to look in that mirror and you have to encourage yourself. You have to say nice things to yourself. I did a project, like an all-day girls workshop years ago, maybe about 6 years ago, and I bought mirrors. And they had to write things on the mirror about the, you had to dig within. And for some people, it was easy. Some people, it wasn't. You had to dig in there inside of you and write things about yourself. So when you look at that mirror, you're seeing beautiful. You're seeing smart. You're seeing charismatic. So when you look at the mirror, you're not just looking at yourself. You're also looking at the other things that make you beautiful. So sometimes you have to just, you know, do different things to get yourself to that point, no matter how long it takes. Because it's not an overnight thing. It wasn't an overnight thing for you to get this way, and it might not be an overnight thing for you to overcome it. So, you know, I just want to throw that out there for people who are listening. Those are some of the things that you can do, and, you know, just start from there and disregard the naysayers. They're the ones that help you get there in the first place.
That's right. But you know what I was thinking about as I was listening to you say all of that? It's so deep because broken people that feel that way about themselves, they have children. They don't know how to love themselves, so they don't know how to teach their children to love themselves. So it's just a vicious cycle that keeps, you know, continues to go on.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, this is an open forum,
people,
so.
Listen to me, sis.
Oh, go ahead, sis. I didn't even want to finish.
They can have different people in their lives, whether it's mentors, whether it's people in their family, whether it's a friend that's telling them all these great things. And they hear them, and they somewhat believe it, but they never heard it from their own mother, their own father.
Mm.
So it may not reach
that's deep.
Them.
It's true. It's very, very true. Wow. Well, this is an open forum, sis. So I know we wanted to kind of like open the floor a little bit.
Yes.
What were you going
to
say?
Hopefully our guests, you know, we're not trying to scare anybody away. If you don't want to speak or anything, just say hi. Don't be rude now because y'all on VIP.
Just say
you.
Hey.
Hey,
you Unique and Mecca girl. We have to put the disclaimer out because
yes.
– We laugh all the time because at one point when we first started this, we had a person who would call in every single week. We even gave that person a name. I forgot what it was. But they would call in every single week and not ever say anything. Then we got to the point where, you know, we started doing it the Blog Talk way, which we almost to our 50th episode. Woo-woo. But we would have people that when we call out their last four numbers, they would just get real silent. So if you don't want to, you know, weigh in on the conversation, that's fine, but at least let us know you're here. So I'm going to open the line and open up the microphone to 7901. Again, 7901, no pressure. If you don't have much to say or to weigh in, just let us know you're here. Just say, hey, Unique and Mecca, I don't have anything to say, and we will close your line back up.
Well, thank you so
good
much
evening,
for opening up the line. Good evening to both of you. I'm so proud, so proud of both you sisters. My heart is full. That's all I'm saying.
I know that voice. That's my god sister.
You
hey,
got a
hey, well, see now you blow my cover.
And welcome to the VIP. It's a family thing. All family always calls in.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say about the children. Actually, I really just wanted to speak to young mothers because I know it's hard to be a young mother, and feel sometimes it's hard to feel proud, especially depending upon what your circumstances are or how you became a young mother. Society is always down on, you know, hardworking young mothers, but I just want them to instill in their children, you know, the pride of just being here because there are other choices that could have been made. So there should be a certain proudness to a young mother, and she should instill that into her child, the love and the respect and the beauty of that child just being here. And that's really important, and that's all I really wanted to say.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. And you guys, congratulations on your almost 50th episode. I'll be listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Our 50th should be the last Thursday of December. So thank you so much for calling into the VIP, Shanae.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, yes, sis, I don't know. Would you want to – you had your whole little list here of songs. I don't know if you wanted to get into something else. I'm looking at our playlist.
No,
our playlist is ridiculous,
no.
But I can't play none of these, y'all, today.
Yeah, that's not for this show.
I'm trying.
With our girls. We got to close the show with them.
Of course. Now, let me say something about our girls. What I loved about them is what they stood for, and they stood for a lot of, you know, positivity, you know, girl power, good self-esteem, you know, and the like. But it's funny because when they came out with this particular song, which started as a poem first, I actually like the poem better than I like the song. When they came out with this, it was because they were dealing with certain insecurities, you know. And sometimes you look at a person in the media and you look at how strong they portray themselves to be. And at the end of the day, they may very well be just that. But because they're human, you know, they go through certain things and they feel sometimes a certain way about themselves that's contrary to what you see, you know. So it was a very unique and ironic twist that they would come out this particular song. So I got to play Our Girls. Me and Unique loved them growing up and still do. So we're going to play TLC Unpretty on the VIP with Unique and Mega.
Wow.
Yeah, I have to say wow. You know what just hit me, sis? That's a group, three women, who two of the three were voted at two different times, top 50 most beautiful people
mm-hmm.
in the world. And this is what, and you get a song like that from them, which is so instrumental even today. Earlier we talked about, you know, a couple of celebrities who, you know, we noticed had changed some things up with themselves or whatever the case may be. And I went back and I began to think about, you know, how the lyric says, you can buy your hair if it won't grow, you can fix your nose if you say, you know, if you say that, you can buy all the makeup that men can make. Now,
but
get this. So that means that technically, find out who am I to. Try to get the scratchy voice on for T-Boss. But, and you do all of those things. So my thing is, you know, if I had the opportunity to interview a Lil' Kim or, you know, a Tamar Braxton, who I always thought was as cute as she could be. Her and Tony looked so much alike back before people even knew really who Tamar was, like in the 90s. But I would ask them, do they feel different about themselves now that they've changed themselves? What has changed? Are the scars still there? Like that, you know. And then I feel like, how do you go back to that?
That's why they keep doing stuff. Think about Michael Jackson. When I was listening to the lyrics, that's what it was making me think of.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an outside
and how he
thing.
Didn't
want
to identify
inside.
With looking like his dad.
Yes. Like, you have to fix
he
it.
He suffered so much
with
his dad.
He had all the money in the world, and so many people get it twisted. They think that riches and fame, that brings you happiness. It doesn't. If you feel like crap inside, you change on the outside. If the inside ain't right, you'll never be fixed. You'll spend your whole life trying to change something that you never can. And that's why, you know, Lil' Kim go back 3, 4, 5 times and have 5 different noses. Complexion is just getting lighter and lighter. It's really, really, really sad. It's sad. I hate to say it, but it's like a cool thing, you know, to do it. I hear people talking all the time about, oh, child, if I get some money, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to do that. And I remember when plastic surgery was something that wasn't talked about. If you did something, you know, you tried to keep it on a hush hush, whether it was changing your nose or whatever it was. If people figured it out, that was just that. You didn't go around talking about it.
And look, as much as I want to get rid of this 3 months pregnant worth of stomach that I got, ain't no baby in there. Ain't no real 3 months pregnant. I just can't see myself going under the knife. I could exercise, just club right on off, and feel good about myself in the process. I got to say this, because I think people need to hear this, too. Go ahead, because I'm not going to forget my point. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if I had some money, I'd get rid of my belly. I would. I don't think I would do the surgery neither. I would probably do like some laser lipo or something like that, because people fail to, you know, they forget that surgery is surgery. You can die anytime you go under anesthesia. Anything can happen.
And I wanted to
say
that
too. We've seen it with Kanye West's mother. You know, we've seen that, and you know, people get that twisted.
And people going to DR to hurry up and get, you know, all this stuff done. But what I was going to say, and, you know, people might say, well, you know, that's easy coming from you because you never suffered from a low self-esteem. And no, I didn't. But I want people to understand that when you see me, you are not seeing the me. They're not seeing people who meet me in recent years. I'll say as recent as 15 years, you know, from now to 15, they're not seeing the me that you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're seeing in me that almost gained a whole 100 pounds. And it was funny because I remember talking to my cousin about it. And let me tell you something. I just started doing something about it maybe about 2 years ago. I just started, you know, losing the weight. And my clothes just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I used to have the tiny petite clothes. My cousin used to tease me and tell me my clothes look like dog clothes. And I didn't understand what the heck she was talking about. What you mean dog clothes? But when I look back at some of the stuff that I still have, I have to laugh and be like, wow, excuse me, I really was small. But one thing that I can say is that gaining all of that weight, I didn't let it change how I felt about myself, who I know that I am. So I just want to encourage, you know, a person or people who may be going through, you know, just that they're big and talked about because of it, or they gained a lot of weight. And get this, I didn't gain a lot of weight because I had a lot of kids. I have zero, zip, zilch, nada. But that's a lot of weight to gain. So in my, you know, working toward losing it, it's still not about self-esteem because I still, you know, hey, I'm good. But how healthy is it? So my thing is that if there is something that you need to change about yourself, focus on whether or not you need to change that thing, because it could be a health risk more so than what other people are saying. So I just want to, you know, throw that out there that y'all, this is not the Mecca. Y'all just met. This ain't that Mecca, honey. I had abs. I was just looking at a picture of me, you know, my stomach years ago, and I was like, ooh, that's little baby abs right there. Yeah, I ain't got those no more. I done went from abs to flabs, honey. But feel good about you. In spite of, and start today, step by step. Look in that mirror. Talk to yourself. Block out the naysayers.
Find one thing per day that you like about yourself. It can be your eyes. It can be your smile. It can be your teeth. It can be your complexion. Anything. You have to be your biggest cheerleader.
That's it. Be your biggest fan.
And,
definitely, definitely.
And, you know, well, since you said that, you know, since you were talking about what you were talking about, it made me think about something, because I remember after I had my second child, my body changed drastically. When I had my first son, I was 19 years old. The snapback was real, like, and I was always very small as well. My kids are 14 years apart, so, of course, I was, you know, in my 30s when I had the second kid, and that weight didn't fall off at all. And I remember, like, you know, putting on certain clothes, like certain jeans and stuff, like, oh my God, my stomach is hanging over my jeans. And it kind of did send me into a depression, a complete depression. I don't know if I was suffering from postpartum or what it was, but it was just like, wait a minute, when I had my first kid, I was able to get right back into my clothes. Like, what's going on? And, you know,
in a week's time, back in the same clothes.
That's just something, you know, that women have to deal with. And that's why you have, you know, certain celebrities that's like, nope, I'm not going to push out no baby. I'm going to pay a surrogate to carry my child because I don't want to mess my body up, which is just so, like, completely insane to me. I think you
because
should use a surrogate if you have to use a surrogate if you can't carry it yourself. That's, you know, but to do
right.
It for vain purposes, that's just insane.
Yeah, to be not
crazy,
talked about, to be not looked at a certain way, to be all of those things which have to do with self-esteem, because if it wasn't about your self-esteem and if it wasn't about the fact that you need to portray yourself in a certain way, in a certain image, you would not give a crap about it.
Nope.
You'll be like, listen, I'm going to carry this baby for 9 months. I'm going to gain this 60 pounds or 35 pounds or however many pounds I'm going to, and I'm going to get it off. You know what I mean? I'm going to get it off, you know? So,
yes.
Again, I feel like being in the industry sometimes causes you, your self-esteem to be a certain place. And this is also why a lot of times when that record doesn't sell the way it used to, or when that movie is not a box office success over the first weekend, you go
into a depression
state. So that's another form of low self-esteem that you allow the industry to make you feel like you need to be a certain way. This is what the standard is. But like I said, you set the criteria. Whenever you was born, the criteria was made and the mold was broken. Nobody else can be you.
Only one you. And look, you're going to be with yourself until God says it's time for you to come home. So you better start loving yourself.
That's right. Love yourself.
Can't nobody
love yourself.
Like you love yourself.
No, not even your mama. Okay?
Nope.
I said that the other day. No offense to mine who's on the show, because my mother is my, you know, my biggest fan next to me.
That's for sure.
But you got to, you know, you got to love yourself. And you have to let it start, let it begin with you, not what other people think of you or not what other people say you should be. Begin to love yourself. Look through your own eyes and not through the eyes of other people. And that also goes both ways, because I don't care how many people tell you you're beautiful, that's an opinion as well. So with that said,
and the only one that really matters is your own.
That's right.
At the end of the day.
That's
but you know what? I just want to touch on something really, really quickly, because, you know, when people think of self-esteem, of course, they automatically think of women. It's a lot of men that suffer from low self-esteem as well.
And we
definitely mentioned that briefly. Yes, it's a lot of guys that, you know, grew up and they got made fun of as well. You know, girls didn't like them or think that they were cute. So as they got older and came into, you know, their own, and, you know, women started being attracted to them, whether it was because of their money or whatever it may have been, that may have turned them into womanizers. This is like, oh, nobody was checking for me before, so, you know, now girls like me, so I want them all. And they don't know how to deal with that.
And here's the thing. With that, we definitely have to have, I mean, I know this is going to be an open forum that we, you know, have do series. You know, you guys who listen to the VIP, you know we have specific ones that we have series and we talk about over and over again. This will be one of them. But I would like to get some of those men on and talk to them about it. Because what I find, especially with, you know, men of color, that when it was something that they didn't like about themselves, which usually came from their mother, that they look like, like, or grandma or whoever, they try their best to find a woman who looks nothing like their mother. And so that's a form of self-hatred. And so low self-esteem can go to extremes that you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah.
You wouldn't imagine, you know. So we definitely, any of y'all listening, we definitely welcome you guys to come on and talk about this with us the next time that, you know, we discuss this and we have this particular open forum about low self-esteem. You might not want to admit it. You might get on here and say some craziness like they say. And I have to say they say, because I didn't hear it out of, you know, his mouth. Like they say Lil Wayne said, which was, how was it? Shirley, if you don't stop texting me, I'm going to beat you because my phone is going off. But nonetheless, I had heard that Lil Wayne said, that he has one dark child, and that we open the line on you. That's right. So I'm not relaying no messages. You need to be on here talking what you need to talk. But Lil Wayne, a brown man, not a high yellow one, a brown man who, you know, was supposedly said, I'm not having any more dark kids. I have one dark kid. I'm not having any more. And so my thing is, what does that say about
how does that
you?
Make his daughter feel? How does that make Regine feel? That's not,
you know,
sending her a positive message.
It's not sending her a positive message at all, but it's bigger than her. Because
it,
with him,
yeah, it
because
is.
When he
it,
looks
it
in the mirror,
is.
He's
it,
certainly
it, oh,
not.
Yeah.
When he looks in the mirror, he's a dark man under all them tattoos.
And
girl,
can never change
it.
That.
Oh, he can change it because you got enough money to change it. But being that, you know, some of the women that he's probably gotten have, you know, flocked to him the way he is.
Definitely.
He all right with it.
And I'll say it, he ain't a handsome man neither. And half of the women that he got babies with probably wouldn't have no kids with him if he wasn't Lil Wayne with the money. But I want to also say, you know,
I'm so finished with her right now
about this color,
but that's
color struck stuff.
that, you know, you can have a baby with a light-skinned woman and it still come out dark-skinned. Why? Because it's carrying your genes.
Exactly.
Too dark.
You can be too light-skinned people.
A light-skinned child. Yes.
Absolutely.
Too light-skinned people can produce a dark-skinned child.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's just
my thing is people have to be mindful of the things that they say. If you think that way in your crazy mind, keep that to yourself. Don't put that out into the universe.
It's levels to the
and you don't
stuff,
need to be
sis.
Having no more daggone kids anyway. Yeah, I'm nothing.
I can't. Yeah, so, you know, it's just so many levels to it. Like I said, this is the first of our series talking about self-esteem or the lack thereof. Hopefully the next time that we do talk about it, I'll have some more pointers to give people as well. Hopefully I would have had a few more speaking engagements and workshops underneath my belt to where I really had to force myself to think of some other things. And, you know, so that God can use me just to be a blessing to give you guys something, and, you know, as well as unique to just give us something that we need to say to you guys to kind of, like, help you through it. Because at the end of the day, I feel so passionate about it. I was talking with the other night when I was talking to Marv, with his crazy self, shouts to Marv Neal. I was talking to him the other night, and I was so passionate about the fact that I just want everybody to feel good about themselves. And he got real quiet as he was listening, and then he was like, okay, you got any tears for me? Because it was so, I mean, so deep that I guess he was just like, well, dang, is she going to cry about it? Because this is serious. But that's how I feel. That is just how much I wish everyone the way that their parents felt about them when they first laid eyes on them or when they first realized that they were pregnant with them or conceived or whatever the case may be. That's the kind of feeling that I wish for everyone. So, in our closing, sis, I don't know if you have anything. And I know you said, because you understand, because you're a parent. So you understand what it was like when you
lay
gave birth.
Lay eyes on all three of my babies. Child,
that's right.
The best thing that I could ever create it. But what I want to say is to those people that feel bad about themselves, don't inflict your pain on somebody else because you feel bad about yourself. Don't try to make somebody else feel bad. Because that's where, you know, a lot of the bullying and a lot of things come from.
It's so many levels. You're absolutely right. And sometimes I feel like that's easier said than done as well, because what ends up happening is that you don't necessarily do it on purpose, but you inflict it on other people to get it off of you. You don't know a positive way to do it. So it's just, you know, like I said, so many different levels to it. And that's pretty much all that I have to say, you know, about that. Like I said, I don't know if you have anything else, but if not, sis, you got anything else?
We love y'all.
Yes, we love y'all.
Everyone.
We thank y'all for all of our support. She really thinks that I'm joking with her. We thank y'all for all of your support for the past almost year we've been doing it the Blog Talk way. Since, you know, we did it another way prior just to get ourselves our feet wet. But we thank you guys for tuning in, for your support. You can always hit us up on our social media pages under our name, Unique and Mecca, YOUNEIKMEKHA. You can always find both of us under those two names together. And, yeah, feel good about yourself. We love you, and we're praying for you. And we just want to thank you for joining us tonight on the VIP.
Good night.
Thank you for spending time on the VIP with Unique and Mecca. You can find us here every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for the VIP experience. Bring a friend or look us up on Instagram and Facebook under Unique Mecca, spelled YOUNEIKMEKHA, or on Twitter under VIP.UniqueMecca. And if you don't believe anything else, please believe that you are a VIP through trial and triumph. Thanks again for joining us.